Oh my god. So let's try and build this.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of The Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more. On tonight's show, we have a small roster starting with Agrippa.
Hola.
Caroline.
Hi.
Gonzo Rider.
I love Lamp.
Lamp? With a P?
Lamp.
Okay. And nobody else. That's our roster for tonight.
But woo!
It is excusable because today is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of you sexy mothers out there. But you'll probably be listening to this after Mother's Day. But anyway, thank you to all the people in our Ustream who are listening.
After Mother's Day.
Thank you to everybody in our Ustream who's listening in live and participating in the chat. We appreciate that as always. And as usual, hit us up at twitter.com/noisecast or thenoisecast.com with your questions, comments, feedback, etc. So let's get this show on the road. Today we did our second noise draft where we talked about things that should never, ever, 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 ever be in the cloud.
How many evers was that?
Ever, 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 ever. I believe that was 13.
Oh, thanks for counting, because I thought it was a lot.
But as usual, you can always feel free to participate in the noise draft in the comments and continue it if you want to. But this was straight on the heels of certain cloud issues that were happening as of recently, such as Amazon's AWS going down, PlayStation Network, LastPass getting hacked, supposedly. All this other stuff that's sort of giving cloud computing a bad rap. So, question about that. Is cloud computing flawed to the point that we shouldn't be relying on it?
I wouldn't rely on it. I mean, it's more of a convenience, I think, than something that I really want to put any kind of faith in. It's convenient to have my music in the cloud because I can listen to it when I'm not at my computer.
Yeah, it's flawed depending on what the use case is. I mean, as you know, the one door that has access to your whole life, it's kind of, I mean, that's kind of silly, honestly. I mean, now instead of having to break into or in any way kind of gain access to 1 million people, 100 million people, they just need to gain access to one spot and they have the run of things. And so, I mean, it really depends. If it's your music collection or whatever random nonsense, sure, whatever. You know, the cloud's convenient. But to move wholesale into the cloud, that's just ridiculous. Well, right now. And,
well, forever. I mean, I don't care how secure your shit is. I want something that's physically mine that I can hold in my hand.
Well, I mean, you still have to interface with it somehow. I mean, it's not like you just magically no longer have any devices. That's actually the reason why I think the cloud, the idea of the cloud is, if it survives, it won't be in its current form. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, there's kind of an energy trade-off. Why should Google, for example, handle outsourcing you know, all of your processing power, all of that stuff to their servers, you know, spend all the energy and time and bandwidth when in your pocket and on your desk, you actually have equipment right there that can handle most of that processing. So I see the cloud as a way to communicate, to share. I mean, I see it surviving as a way to communicate, to share, to, you know, those types of things. But in general,
I see it as a place for storing non-essential data.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just, to me, it's the, you know, it's the throughfare. I mean, at the end of the day, your handset, your device is a lot more important, a lot more useful to you. And I think we should, I mean, yeah, let's treat the cloud the way we treat the rest of the internet, as, you know, as a highway, as a depot, a rest stop on the highway, if you will. But, you know, your device is... It's just a lot more relevant. I think everyone's device should become, I think we should switch from a cloud view to more like a swarm or a cluster view, where every person's device is its own server. I'd love it if my laptop, my phone, each thing was its own, you know, its own unique server that was just using this idea to communicate, but not outsourcing all the work. Like, just outsource the non-essential work to the cloud, and I'm good to go.
Tony brings up a good point in the Ustream that if somebody wants something bad enough, they'll find a way to get it, cloud or not.
Word.
So even if you do have your stuff in your handset or, you know, in your pocket, like you take a slice of pizza in your pocket and put it in your wallet.
Someone can still steal your wallet for pizza. Well, that's true. That's a fair point. And I was actually talking about Iran today, and I said, well, the kind of person who could, you know, get past, you know, Google or Microsoft or Amazon's walls, that type of person, if they really wanted to gain access to your system, would have anyway. You know, and even without the help of the cloud, that type of person is probably already gaining access to millions of systems wholesale. And so, at the end of the day, yeah, you're...
But you're just making it easier for them when you put all your shit in one spot.
True.
For me, it's not even a security thing. It's also just, like, trusting a website to always be running. And I just feel like, I mean, the chance of you really needing something at some point and, like, it the site, you know, under maintenance or something. Like, I've had that happen before, and I don't know. I don't trust other... sites.
You don't trust the 99.9% uptime, that 0.01%.
Exactly.
Could be the worst time ever.
No, but it's just not even that. I don't know. And it's also just the uploading is always slow. I mean, maybe it's my internet, but it's always slow. So
I'm gonna blame that on your internet.
You know what? All those years of pictures and messages and important stuff that people gathered over the years of using Friendster, I think we should probably ask any surviving Friendster users how they feel about the cloud's potential uptime now that they're pretty much just going to delete everything. Just like, hey, if you want to save anything, do it now, because we're deleting everything.
Wait, aren't they, like, revamping Friendster? Like, isn't it still really big in, like, Southeast Asia, so they're revamping it into, like, a music site or something like that?
I'm pretty, yeah.
They're going to go the MySpace route? Is that what you're fucking saying?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. They're doing the MySpace renovation, but I didn't realize it was literally the MySpace renovation.
No, that's literally what it is.
Friendster is going to be your number one stop for J-pop online.
Because, I mean, even in places where Friendster is important, it doesn't do anything Facebook can't, because growing faster than ever. In a lot of these places, I'm not one of those people who's going to say Facebook is going to rule the world and all that stuff, but because, you know, I'm a believer in the long tail. It always looks like it's unassailable until someone else, you know, comes up. Just like I remember when MySpace was a juggernaut. Actually, doesn't it seem kind of just cute and adorable now? MySpace has 120 million people. Oh my God.
No, because they lost like 10 million people in a week.
now we're talking about 700 million people on Facebook. Like, they've stopped. Remember when every time Facebook hit another 100 million, it would be huge news? Now it's like, I didn't even notice when they. Yeah. I know there's, what, a billion, what, 1.5 billion people
I mean,
total
growth
on the
isn't
internet?
Infinite. You reach a finite number eventually.
Someday they're going to hit 7 billion people and they're going to start.
Well, are we including people that really can't use Facebook anymore or at all? Like Facebook profiles of that people do with their dogs or like their newborn kids? Or like, you know, fake profiles and stuff?
Well, one assumes that, like, okay, you know, this is one thing, considering this is a fairly new thing, this is one thing I do wonder. Take someone like Kevlar, who has created a Twitter for his kid. I assume he's created a Facebook, too.
And I've created a Twitter for my naps.
But my question
is... That's just
is,
ridiculous.
Take
that down. I'm going to report it as spam.
Now, my question is, Kevlar's kid, when she... grows up, is she gonna like take over like the Twitter?
I don't know.
You know, like
I have
what
heard
happens?
Of people buying domain names for their kids, like their name, so they can have their own named website. I have seen that.
I mean, I have a friend who did that for his dog and did it for his newborn kid as well a few months back. So,
no, I would probably do that, but not the whole, you know, like I want, you know, turn into like an internet baby book. You know, that kind of nonsense. But it more probably be the whole geek parent in me that's like, hey, you have access to this. I paid for this and this and this, and just, you know, figure it out.
You know what?
Do something cool.
I bet one of those kids, when they grow up and turn 18, they're going to sue their parents for slander.
When I was 2 years old, it told me I was shitting the bed, and I wasn't. Slander.
And you know this stuff's forever now.
Oh, yeah.
Practically. Like all those,
I mean,
dumb kids.
It's become
on
now
YouTube.
Like it used to be. You put it in marble, you etched it in stone. It was there forever. Now you just type it away. Bam! It's there forever.
Everybody in the damn camera phones. Every stupid thing you say is on notice.
Very true.
Being watched. But
oh, Tawny just mentioned his kid has Twitter,
her.
Facebook, everything.
Her.
His. I'm sorry, her. My bad. I was still thinking about Kevlar. I think about Kevlar a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Want a sex change? Yeah. Come listen to the Noisecast.
That's slanderous.
Now Agrippa's so flustered that we know. Can't even, he didn't even finish his thing.
Called him out.
Flustered that you know that I think about Kevlar. I'm not,
yeah.
Dude.
Hey,
have you seen Kevlar and I flirt
hot.
Openly on Twitter? In fact, as we
he
speak,
gets jealous
I'm
when I flirt
to,
with you.
Shoot, I'm gonna flirt with Kevlar right now. Keep talking.
Okay, on the whole cloud thing though, real quick, we're gonna come back to that, but I want to talk about the LastPass hacking. It's not really a hacking. They saw sort of
an anomaly. I think is the terminology they used.
An anomaly in the logs, which kudos to them. They check their logs on a daily basis, and they actually sift through line by line to see if there's anything out of the ordinary.
I mean,
because
I'll give them props for saying, hey, something might be up, might want to start changing things. But don't keep your fucking passwords in the cloud. Oh my God. How hard is it to fucking remember your passwords?
I think the bigger issue is that passwords in general, whether they're in the cloud or wherever, are obsolete nowadays. And there has to be some sort of new way of doing a security check that isn't a password. It's come to that point where passwords, no matter where they are or how they're stored, somebody could find them out or brute force them or something to them pretty easily.
Well, I mean, is there, I mean, but then at the same time, is there anything that's ever truly impenetrable?
No, not really, but I mean, there could be alternatives that
That's not true. There are things that are impenetrable. Barbra Streisand's vagina, for one. I will never penetrate that.
You know what? Why did I don't? I have no idea why I automatically thought you were gonna say Barbra Streisand's vagina. And this seems odd because I don't think you've ever brought up her vagina before.
Well, it's a scary place.
Maybe I suppose you've been there. No, but yeah, I mean, because I mean, what I mean, we know, you know, biometrics are flawed, deeply flawed. But what else is there? Like, you know, psychic connection, will of God,
yeah, quantum there's not randomness. A better alternative to passwords. What, more CAPTCHA?
Which has gotten to the point. That shit's gotten to the point where it's not just ridiculous. They're not even trying anymore with the CAPTCHAs. They're just some jack off is sitting there squiggling on a piece of paper and telling you to copy it down.
I want to know, is there like a job you can get called CAPTCHA artist where you just write letters really scrunched together? Because I'd like to get paid to do that.
Yeah, it's getting so much harder for me to keep track. It's actually kind of frustrating now. Where it's like, you know, what the hell? I just want to, you know, Facebook. I just want to post a damn link on my sister's wall or on my wall. Why do I need a CAPTCHA to post on my own damn wall? And why does it feel like I'm taking a final exam just to figure the damn thing out?
Sometimes I click the I'm blind thing so that I can
hear it. It talks to you?
Yeah, because sometimes
you're forever alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to click that next time. I always figured it was dishonest.
Everything's dishonest. You know, how many websites I went to as a kid that's like, you must be 13 or years or older to post on this website? I think I'm 25 now.
Well, they were saying that.
Suspicious.
What was it, like 60 or 70% of all kids between like 8 and 12 in Europe have a Facebook account, even though it's supposed to be 13 years or over?
Yeah, I mean, that whole 13 years or over, the dumbest shit ever. Yes, kids shouldn't be on the internet, but when you just have to click a drop-down box that has a year on it,
and
what kind
I mean,
of question is that?
Are you going to deny that you never, while you were underage, went to a porn site and it said, you know, only enter if you're 18 and you just, I mean.
Oh, dude. All the time.
You know, does anyone ever click not 18? I actually did once on Pornhub or whatever. It was a long time ago and it still took me to the site. But since then, I've checked, and it sends you to Google or something like that.
Well, they used to send you to Disney.
Or, yeah, some random, yeah.
Send you to Disney.
But it was just like...
I remember there was a scandal a while back about, like, a bunch of unreputable porn places buying domain names that were, like, one letter away from, like, Disney-owned.
That's the oldest news. Like, I actually heard about that in fourth grade.
Yeah, like, it happened a long time ago, and I was like, really?
Well,
why are you doing that?
The most obvious one that's been around forever is WhiteHouse.com. I mean, most people don't really know that you have to go to WhiteHouse.gov, so they go to WhiteHouse.com, and there you go.
That must be awkward.
Oh, it was awkward people. In third grade when I went to that website at school.
Oh, yeah. I went to houserepresentatives.com or like HOR.com when I was in like H-O-R. Second grade. Yeah.
I went to whore.com. It was whore test.
But, All right. So, cloud is meh. Passwords are meh. Not much you could do. But things are moving more and more to the cloud as it is. I'm guessing, well, first off, the latest thing that went to the cloud is Amazon's Cloud Player, which we did a review about. It's been on Android. You know, the Cloud Player has gotten pretty good reviews. And as of yesterday, you can now get it on your iOS device, so your iPhone or iPad.
Did they ever settle the licensing issues that they were having?
I didn't hear anything about that. I'm guessing they did because there's no longer, you know, anything going on about it. But...
Because that's the most ridiculous thing ever. You need a license to stream your own music.
I had no idea. I mean, sometimes the RIAA and the MPAA do some really weird shit.
You want to know why people pirate? Because they're tired. They think those people are retarded.
You know, if the RIAA had actually done a cloud player that did everything the Amazon Cloud Player does, but for all their music... They would not be having this problem at all.
No.
They'd be eating steak right now.
Look at Netflix. Tears. Netflix has caused movie piracy online to drop. I was just reading the other day. It's dropped because of Netflix. Imagine if the music industry did that.
Of course, the movie industry will never actually admit that. Those jerks.
No.
Though it does seem like they are turning around. They are starting. Well, maybe not the movie guys, but the TV. They're largely the same, you know, companies, studios, and whatnot. But a lot of TV executives are starting to kind of turn, you know, come around to Netflix as, you know, a chance to save the business.
It is. I mean, and that's why Comcast bought out, what was it, NBC Universal or CBS? One of those two.
NBC.
Yes. I mean, that's the reason why they did it, because Comcast, you know, is a prime service provider, and it'll be able to put that stuff on the internet without the extra bullshit.
But
I don't know. Yeah. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you could definitely get on the Amazon Cloud Player bandwagon. Don't know why you're still using iTunes, considering Amazon is much cheaper and much more awesome.
And iTunes sucks ass.
But on the topic of Amazon, though, and cloud, Amazon, it was said recently that Amazon tablet is coming out soon, and it's going to be the first true competitor to the iPad.
Based Isn't on, everything going to be the first true competitor to the iPad? Guess like, how many times have I fucking heard that first phrase with tablets?
Okay. We're saying that this is the first official competitor to the iPad.
What, are they putting up fucking t-shirts for it and shit?
No, look, it's here's what I have to say. It's the first one that seems to be that offers anything different. I mean, right now, every tablet coming out is playing Apple's game, and you know, it's Apple's game. And it's not saying that I think the argument for what Amazon comes out with being a competitor is I think it's kind of it's a bit of a red herring. I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to go up against, you know, the iPad. I think it's going to be a slightly different market. Like, a lot of people put breakdowns on what, you know, Amazon could do to really differentiate it, you know, to see it as a rather than a replacement for the Kindle, but as, you know, working in sort of symbiosis with it. And just the looks of just, you know, the things, the parts they're ordering, the position Amazon has. I mean, is there any online store that could ever, you know, for any company out there that could ever hope to match the kind of, you know, power that iTunes has created for itself?
I think Amazon out there can.
Amazon is the only one that.
Because let's face it, I mean, the iPad and iTunes, iPad and iPhone, they heavily rely on the iTunes platform, which offers you the books, the bookstore, which offers you the music, which offers you the movies. And here we have Amazon, who's been building an arsenal, a cloud player, with the Kindle, with now its own app store for Android. I mean, giving users priority access through their tablet to all this stuff is pretty much putting it on an even playing ground with the iPad, because let's face it, the Amazon cloud player and all that other stuff is not something you sort of scoff at. It's actually desirable by consumers.
And, you know, and let's not forget the only people that Amazon really needs to beat, it's the Nook. That's all they need to beat. The Nook Color is the only device they really need to beat. There's no point competing on, you know, Apple's turf, but if it does, it offers something. I'm more interested, really, to be honest, on the price, even though, to be fair, the Kindle DX is ridiculously priced right now, you know, for what it is. So, I mean, there is a possibility that Amazon might do something silly on the price, but I mean, people have been talking about everything from, you know, the ecosystem they've built through, you know, Amazon Prime, you know, the whole system they have in place for everything, that this might actually come out and be the cost favorite. I mean, the Acer Iconia A500 is, you know, what, $450, and, you know, outclasses, you know, most other tablets out there, you know, in specs, but it's still not at that magic price. You know, it still hasn't come down. It's still in that, you know, definitely firmly in the luxury department. And to me, I don't think Amazon, if Amazon comes out with a proper tablet, I don't think it's going to come out with something stupid. But it doesn't have to be way more powerful or, you know, way more special than the iPad. To be honest, it just needs to be way, way cheaper. Like, it needs to bring it down to where, You know, like, for example, the reason smartphones right now are starting to multiply in their usage is the fact that, you know, there was a time when on contract you could get a top-of-the-line smartphone on contract for like $300. Now you can get, you know, top-of-the-line device for $50 on contract. That's what I'm hoping Amazon does. So my main interest isn't necessarily in an Amazon tablet specifically. It's what it does for the industry.
True. I completely agree with what you just said. So, I mean, obviously we don't know anything about the Amazon tablet. Right now it's just speculation and rumor.
Word.
But
we know its name.
Well, actually we know the parts it's using.
But pretty much we can only go by what we've seen Amazon do so far in the mobile marketplace. So,
true that.
And if they find a way to integrate shopping into the whole tablet thing in a way that hasn't been done before, then it'll be,
Oh, it's going to be grand.
Indeed. Now that we talked about that, we're going to switch over to the playbook. Whatever happened to that thing? Is that thing still around? Is it still going?
Do we care?
No. I mean, I was kind of stoked about it for a while, but they had some issues getting it out. They had issues with it working properly. I don't know. It seems to me like everyone trying to rush to be like, oh, we have to be the next iPad competitor. So they throw shit out. It might not work all the way yet.
And yeah. What's with Microsoft trying to now buy into everybody's pants? Like, there's Microsoft just recently announced that it's going to be the search partner for all BlackBerry devices, all Ring devices.
I don't want that.
You're going to have Google.
Well, you know, I mean, search right now, if you you know, look at the subtext of all the growth in Google, you see a lot of that growth is in the mobile space. I mean, they already dominate to a heavy extent, you know, the desktop space, and mobile's going to be huge. So, I mean, honestly, it's only clever for them to try and be the main. And it's not like you can't go use Google while you're on it, but it does matter. I mean, it's the same reason IE is still the most used browser, because it's just there. Some people don't care. So, you know, like, there will be people who will use Bing and be like, Google looks different. Eh. That's just how it is.
Google sort of did a rollout the other day of a test bed of its search engine, where it looked very, very familiar to Bing. Did you guys see that at all?
No.
They're doing like a test market of, you know, every so often they sort of revamp something on their search results page. And for like a small bucket list of people, their search results look exactly like Bing. They're spaced out. They're very, you know, it looks like everything was written in Calibri, that default Microsoft font.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Calibri.
It's a font.
No, I'm actually,
I don't know,
curious what it actually is.
Well, calibrate? Calibri?
I think Calibri, but I don't fucking know.
Maybe it's Calibri.
It could be Calibri.
But I don't know. Everybody's trying to steal from each other nowadays, and Microsoft is actually losing money on its Bing product. It's spending more money to make people use it than it is in generating revenue. I believe the result was they're spending $3 for every $1 earned on Bing.
Wouldn't be the first time, and, you know, it may or may, that's always a risky bet, because, you know, you do have some companies who, I mean, there are pretty much two ways you can grow. You can take the hit, or you can buy someone else who's already established. But, I mean, in the search market, they already tried to get Yahoo, and Yahoo was dumb.
Yeah, Yahoo
so,
failed.
You know,
but there's a certain logical risk and loss you're going to be willing to take. I don't know. I don't know about you, but $700 million loss in one quarter doesn't seem like a very logical loss to me.
I don't know, but it's also kind of a laughably small amount compared to, say, some of the losses they went through with the Xbox, for example. Like, a lot of this stuff, a lot of times the math is done, unlike sales figures, for example, which can be hard to predict. You know, you're kind of making it up as you go. Things like costs and all that, that's in finance, it's what we do, you know. And so they would have seen that coming and would have known an acceptable amount. No corporation would keep it going once it goes past a certain threshold. And so I think 700 million seems like it is a lot. It's a huge amount. But you're also talking about a company with, you know, $45 billion just kind of chilling. You know, they may be ready to throw away a good, you know, $10 or $15 billion on this because it has, look at Google's value. Its value is entirely search. And that's a huge company. That's a lot of value to... You know, $10 billion, is, if it works out, is potentially a bargain. And if it doesn't work out, it's just cash that they already had anyway that was sitting around that may have gone into buying other companies or would have been given back to investors in the form of dividends or through stock buybacks, which, honestly, if I were Ballmer right now, that's what I'd be doing, using some of that cash to buy back the stock, because it's obvious the market is never going to appreciate Microsoft. They have shown, you know, record-breaking sales year after year after year, and their stock's been flat for a decade. That's more the point where you're like, you know what, let's just start buying back. Because, you know, we see our own value. Their profit margins haven't been affected.
How's Bing treating you, by the way, and your shiny new Windows Phone 7 device, Agrippa?
I can't say I love it, because, I'm kind of ambivalent to it. It works. It does what it's supposed to do. Actually, there was a period, I do prefer Bing Maps. I never thought I would admit this, but on as far as mobile goes, on the desktop, I use Google Maps, but on the mobile, God, I had to use Bing, because Google just can't decide what the hell it wants with its life in mobile. But otherwise, it's like, you know, like when I need to search something, I search, I do it, and it doesn't even, like, it never occurs to me that, oh, I'm not using Google, I'm using Bing. So that, while that isn't a ringing endorsement, you know, it's not, you know, it's not like, oh crap, I gotta go get Google.
Well, if you want to help out Google, oh, go ahead, Caroline, you want to say
no,
something?
I was just gonna say about the desktop Bing Maps, I was surprised when, I mean, I know it's not related to the mobile phone, but I was surprised to see that, like, I forget what it's called. Is it the bird's eye view or whatever view gives you, like, a side kind of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's actually really nice for, like, looking how... I mean, because, like, you know, from the top, you can't tell anything about a building. So, I mean, it's such a nice feature. And I feel like you can get closer with Bing Maps.
Yeah, Bing is lovely. Bing Maps is lovely. It is lovely. Like, it's my reason for using, again, for what I use the maps for, both Bing and Google and even Yahoo, or, you know, they're good enough. You know, it's like I don't do anything specialized with them, so it doesn't really bother me or affect me much. But yeah, I do notice, like, in the back of my mind that Bing just executes better. You know, it just looks better, and they're trying. Though, you know, Google's doing its thing, too.
Well, if you want to say... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, but I was just going to say, when you search for, like, an address on Bing, they never... It always has to be, like, a very exact address, or it, like, freaks out. Like, I try to do, like, cross streets, like, this and this, and it can't find it. I always find it has to, like, include zip code, like... They can't. I feel like Google's better at kind of finding what you want.
You know what? I just went to MapQuest.com.
What?
And they have finally changed their interface, but they still give you an option to go to classic MapQuest if you feel like you want that terrible, terrible, terrible experience. But as of last week, this was not up, because I remember I was going to say how terrible an experience MapQuest is.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But now they've changed up their interface to make it a more streamlined with what Bing and Google Maps
are doing. I love their
new
logo.
Two little
green M with a
What is that supposed to be? Like a
prescript Q?
It's their MO. Get it?
Knock, knock, knock.
Oh, is it like a little wait, is it like a crawling thing? Look at it. Looks like a crawling baby.
A crawling baby.
Oh, I see it.
And I can kind of see a crawling baby.
And it's kissing the mom poster.
Oh, or a dog. Wow.
Or a cat.
That is thinking outside the box there.
No, it totally looks like a baby. Stop.
I saw baby. A Q and an M.
Nope.
Okay, babies kissing moms aside. We were talking about the whole Google search thing, and actually, if you want to help Google improve its search, and you don't mind, you know, getting your search habits tracked, hit up a googleaday.com. And what this does is every day there is a new sort of puzzle or riddle or piece of trivia or something that Google posts. And what you do is you use the little built-in search thing that they have, and that sort of takes away all the Wikipedias, and it takes away all the stuff that we're used to today to finding something. And you sort of search, you use your own sort of search thing to find the answer to the solution. And what happens
is cool.
Yeah, Google tracks your searching habit in order to find out an algorithm that sort of makes it more natural in how you search, instead of like going all out and blocking all the content forms and stuff. It's saying, okay, suppose none of these things existed. Suppose Wikipedia didn't exist. Suppose all this didn't exist. How does somebody go about finding an answer to a problem?
It's pretty brilliant. Eh, no one ever accused that company of being dumb, though.
No, I mean, today's question is, Bill is famous for being murdered holding the world's most famous toupee. In 1855, he met another soon-to-be-famous 12-year-old Bill. What was a 12-year-old's nickname as an adult?
Wild Bill. Everybody know that.
Oh, I had no idea.
Or is that maybe the Texas thing? I don't know.
I was thinking Wild Bill Hickok myself, but could have just.
But yeah,
I live on the frontier, man. That's what we do.
Word.
Yep, a Google a day. So don't worry, you're not going to be able to cheat on it anyway. You can't use Wikipedia from the thing they have built in. So it truly tracks in how a normal person would go about searching for something. That Sounds being said, good. Hello, Vito. Nice of you to join the Ustream chat. Okay. Anyway, speaking of searching things, findthebest.com, the newest product that sort of aggregates reviews on almost everything in order to help you find what is the best thing out there.
I didn't appreciate it. I tried looking for cigars, and the first one on the list was Cuban, and I can't buy it.
I mean, are Cuban cigars still all that anyway?
Actually, I
don't know.
Dominican
I've never
Republic.
Had one, but they're supposed
like
to be the bee's
I like
knees.
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic. Oh, yeah.
Maybe the women in Dominican Republic have teased your thighs or something. I don't know. Cuban ones. Because that's how you roll your cigar. And that's how you roll the cigars.
That's how you wish they did. It's probably some machine.
No, the expensive, like, handmade cigars are actually rolled on thighs. Unfortunately, though, it's probably not the women you envision that are rolling the cigars in your thighs.
It's probably like, you know, old like men.
An 80-year-old grandma, you know, just bored, does that on your thighs.
She's Looks bored? Like... I'm bored. I'm going to roll cigars.
Someone's going to pay $1,000 extra.
I roll cigars.
So you can smoke my vagina.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, that's...
I no. suddenly don't...
I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to findthebest.com. Yeah. I think they changed it as of today, because last night when I was looking at it, on the reviews, there's actually like a column that says critic reviews, and it gives you the stars like based on an aggregated review score from all the critic reviews. And then there was a column that said customer reviews, which I found very useful. Unfortunately, today it's no longer on there. I don't know if they've temporarily disabled that or whatnot, but it sort of gives you a, it sort of gave you a better feel of the playing field as to what critics said versus what the average consumer said. Surprise, surprise, guess what the best smartphone is? Not iPhone. The iPhone.
Really?
The Droid Incredible by HTC.
That is rated, a pretty nice phone.
I think that qualifies as a boom roasted.
Well, hello, Vito. Damn. Ladies and gentlemen, Vito number 9 has joined the podcast.
Hello.
What up?
The Droid Incredible is a pretty solid phone. My buddy has one, and I've fucked around with it for a while, and it's pretty solid.
You know, I should have gotten the Droid Incredible instead of the Droid 2. I probably would have had a better time.
I think so.
Yeah. But, I mean, the site's not bad. If you want a site that aggregates all of the expert reviews, findthebest.com does a really good job at doing it for everything. I mean, there's a lot of shit you could look through in here. Now, whether or not that customer review column will come back, I don't know. But I guess this is a worthy competitor of consumer reviews, because it actually uses reviews from people that actually know about their shit.
Yeah, but my problem with expert review ratings is a lot of times those people get a test unit and they test it out and it's like, oh yeah, I like this. But they don't know what it's like to live with it for an extended period of time.
Which is why I'm sort of disappointed that the customer review column is out, because that's exactly what I was talking about. It levels out the playing field.
Yeah, that's what I love about having a customer review, because, I mean, a lot of them are shit. Like, people who have one bad experience are like, oh, fuck this shit. This thing sucks ass. I'm not using it anymore. Well, you might have had a bad unit.
True. Or you get people writing bad reviews on hardware that they're either using improperly or they haven't figured out completely. And then they're like, oh, yeah. Well, this isn't like my iPhone, so it must suck.
You know, I don't know why Amazon hasn't done this. Why the hell are people allowed to post user reviews for products that aren't even released yet? Like, I've noticed that. I looked at the Amazon for the Star Wars Blu-ray extravaganza thing that's being released, and it's got hundreds of reviews all of a sudden rating it, and people giving all their critical reviews about the product based on...
It's not even out yet.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, this thing sucks because it's not the original trilogy, and blah, 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 blah. Like, you haven't even seen the goddamn DVD. You don't even know what's on it.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is people are – I will admit that I complained about it because, as you all know, I'm a big Star Wars geek. But it's entirely possible – not very likely, but it is possible that the original unfucked with versions are on there. So why are people getting all up in arms? You have no idea what's on those discs. The commentary is going to suck because it's basically George Lucas and some fucking producers. But you're not getting it for the commentary. So who gives a shit? You got no place to be rating this stuff because,
like you said, it's already has a 4.5-star rating.
Yeah.
And this is for everything. I mean, this is even for games that are unreleased. I'm pretty sure if I go look up L.A. Noire right now on Amazon, I'll probably find reviews on it. And L.A. Noire.
That's not out yet?
I don't think so, no.
I think it comes Wednesday.
It's coming out on the 17th.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like it has any reviews. Which is weird because unreleased Star Wars DVDs have reviews, but the game doesn't.
That game almost wants me to get my Xbox again.
It's... You know, it quite possibly is one of the most beautiful games I've seen. And
yeah, it really. Well, it's like I saw some of the features about it, like on IGN or someplace, and they were interviewing the creators and all the time they went through to do mocap specifically on like people's faces. Because a big thing in that game is telling whether or not someone is lying to you, and they went through all this stuff to make it look fantastic.
Would have saved some time if they would have invented a face hugger.
Oh,
from Alien. From Aliens, the face hugger.
Come on.
But actually, this might be one of the first games that will be officially credited as art, since in the U.S. now, games are now legally considered an art form. They are legally.
I don't know why they weren't considered an art form before now.
Because of douchebags like Roger Ebert.
Yeah, well, fuck that guy. He's an ass.
But as of now,
there was a reason that he was second on the billing for decades.
Siskel, good old Siskel. He probably would have appreciated video games.
Damn right he would. Especially stuff like Rez. Do you ever play Rez? My God, that game was gorgeous.
I mean, it's not even just the looks of the game. It's, for example, story, like storyline and immersion and stuff like that, evoking emotions out of people. A lot of different ways video games can be art.
That and the amount of time and effort that goes into it, especially from a digital artist standpoint. 3D games, because you got to have modelers, you got to have people doing the skins. You got background artists, and it's insane.
Well, there's also going to be a new exhibit at the Smithsonian to represent the art of video games, and they've chosen their list of video games to display. A lot of art happening and being acknowledged in video games recently, huh?
Get it out. No, the Smithsonian one, if you looked at what they had, there were a lot of them where it's pretty fucking obvious people were just like, oh, that game was a lot of fun, I'm going to vote for that one, when that wasn't really the intention. Some of them very obviously should have been there, like Portal, Mass Effect, but some of them were just people were voting for their favorite game. Which is stupid.
Well, I'm sort of glad that some of these games did make it in there. Like Halo 3 or Gears of War 2. I can't believe those were even nominees. But Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was outed. That sort of sucks ass, because Knights of the Old Republic was one of the first truly story-driven games that gave launch to Mass Effect and gave launch to
Baldur's Gate. Yeah, did you see what it lost to?
Yeah, it lost to Fallout 3.
Here's Fallout 3. That game sucks ass.
It wasn't about whether it was good or not. It was from an artistic standpoint. It's art.
I don't give a shit how fucking artistic it is. I don't want to fucking play that game. That game sucks.
You don't have to want to play it. It's going into a museum as
I don't give
art.
A shit what it is. It needs to fucking go out. Look, my gun doesn't get shittier over time. I don't have to fucking walk everywhere when there's broken cars all over the fucking place. Gotta hang out with some dumbass zombie guy. That game fucking sucked ass.
Tell us how you really feel.
And all my friends are like, oh my God, Fallout 3, best fucking game ever. And I get off its dick. It sucked.
I will admit that I never made it out of the first town. I made it out of the vault, and then after that, I was like, man, this is fucking boring. It was pretty, but it was pretty boring.
It sucked dick and did a bad job. It just kind of slobbered on it and chewed. It was piss poor. Anyway, let's move on. I'm angry now.
I think we scared Agrippa away.
No, he said that there are people putting together furniture in his house, and it just kept getting louder, so he decided to bounce out.
Make this like the open podcast. Whoever wants to hop on, just hop on whenever, leave whenever, you know. A group of pieces out in the middle of everything, doesn't say a word. Like you Vito pops in randomly in the middle, starts talking.
Well, I was content to just sit there in the Ustream and sit in my corner like a bad little puppy dog. And Agrippa said that it wasn't too late to join the show. So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll hop on for like the last 20 minutes or whatever.
Well, we're almost done with our topic, so you came in just at the right time. Only got two more to go before WTF news.
Oh, what the fuck news?
All right. Starting off with Apple moving to ARM processors is what some analysts are saying, that by 2013, Apple will be ditching Intel and switching over to ARM processors. Any idea? Seems like any speculation?
I don't see why not. I mean, the ARM processors are good. They use minimal power. You get good speed out of them when you need it. Low battery usage. There's really no reason not to.
Would they be good for their desktops? Like their
desktop applications?
Well, the rumors are saying that Apple's gonna say fuck you to Intel completely. They're switching everything over to ARM.
That doesn't seem like a wise decision. Maybe for their iPhone, maybe for their laptops, but for the desktops, I don't know. It doesn't seem like you'd be able to get what you needed out of it. I mean, I know that I said you get good power and speed when you need it, but I was speaking from a mobile standpoint. I wouldn't trust an ARM processor in my desktop. That's just silly.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. I think that maybe for the iPads or iPhones and possibly like the MacBook Air and maybe the MacBook, not the Pro. Yeah, an ARM processor makes sense. It'll work. But definitely not for like their more high end stuff like the MacBook Pro and the Mac Pro and the iMac. Especially now with Intel announcing its 3D processors or trisexual processors, whatever those things are.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this might have something to do with like when they migrated to Intel processors and then they started supporting the Sandy Bridge and everything. There was more of a resurgence of people building their own. Before, it was unheard of to build your own OS X machine just because you couldn't. You had to have proprietary Apple shit. But now you can just buy up some stuff on Newegg and slap OS X on there and you're golden.
That is not allowed, sir.
Seeing a reduction in their bottom line.
That's against the terms of service.
Well, here's another thing to think about. I mean, Tawny is saying in the chat that, you know, it would be great because it'll bring down prices. But at the same token, Apple's going to have to rewrite all of its software, not just OS X. It's going to have to rewrite OS X, its entire Final Cut, Logic, its App Store, everything to be better optimized with ARM processors and Intel processors if they're going to be doing two things. And eventually slowly phase that out. They just did that a few years back. It was like about 5 years ago they had to do that when they switched from PowerPC to Intel.
Yeah.
Would doing it again all over within just a couple of years be something they would be willing to drop cash into?
This is Apple. If it means they're going to make money in the long run, they'll fucking do it. And whoever it was that said bring prices down, think about who you're talking about here. It's fucking Apple.
Apple, when have they brought a price down on anything?
Well, the MacBook is now $999. Or no, wait, that's a MacBook Air. The MacBook's still like $100.
Well, and everything with Apple's expensive. Like, my buddy said he wants to get a new battery for his MacBook, and the only one he can find is fucking $120. I was like, I can get a new battery for my notebook for like $50, $70 at the most. Fuck, man, it's just a battery.
ARM's not a lightweight in the game, though. ARM is has come a long way just from...
No, I mean, I see it being great for mobile, but I don't know about on the desktops.
Well, ARM is already, you know, in bed with Windows. As we know, Windows is in bed with ARM, as Microsoft is now optimizing all its shit to use ARM processors in netbooks and notebooks and stuff like that. So we'll be seeing Windows 8 is optimized for ARM and Intel. So ARM could be in a win-win situation with everybody.
Yeah, but again, low power, low process or low speed applications, yes. desktop gaming, video rendering, etc. Fuck no.
Yeah, I don't want to play fucking games with an ARM processor. Just not going to get the job done.
Unless it's Angry Birds.
I don't fucking play Angry Birds. Angry sucks ass as well.
You lie. You fucking love Angry Birds.
I don't even play games on my phone.
I don't either, but that's for
except, well,
reasons.
I have a BlackBerry, so you can't really play many games on it anyway. Every once in a while, I'll play WordMole and try to spell out penises, and you get like 25 points with Clitoris, so I always try to get that.
Oh, you know what game I just wanted to play now? You mentioned BlackBerry. What was the... Did you guys ever play the stock market game in high school? Like Econ 101?
Like the board game?
No, no. It was like you actually went online. It was like the actual stock market, but all your purchases and stuff were like fake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't do that, but I'm aware of what you're talking about.
That game was awesome, man. It's like, yeah, I made $1 million in Coke.
I think you're thinking of a different game.
That sounds more like Drug Wars.
Oh, Drug Wars.
I think you're like Drug Runner from Colombia.
Drug Wars for the TI-83. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, man.
That was the best game ever. I sold so many lewds in that game to be able to purchase cocaine. It was insane. That damn 30-day time limit, too, pissed me off. So just as I was making my first million, you were like on day 28, and you were like, oh, come on.
Yeah, there was a game for iOS that was... It had the same basic structure as Drug Wars, but it was more science fiction based. So instead of going between cities, you were going between star systems, and each star system had like they didn't want your food, they wanted your parts. So there was never any drugs. It was just unless you count like,
it would have been better
vaccination
if they had space drugs.
Stuff. But there was one I found the best way to make money is you get tribbles or the game's equivalent of tribbles. They eat all of your food, right? So when they eat your food, they multiply. Well, there's one little star system where a guy will pay you one credit for every one of the little tribbles on your ship. So what you do is you just bounce around through the star systems gathering up food. And
that's the title of the podcast, by the way. Tribbles on your shit.
Tribbles on your shit.
every time you get to a new star system, you just buy more food. The tribbles multiply. Then you go and you sell the tribbles to the guy for like 11 bazillion credits.
Does anyone have any idea what game it is he's talking about?
I don't even know what the hell it is.
We spent like 5 minutes talking on this game that nobody has any idea what it is.
There's this really great game, and I don't know what the name of it is, but it's awesome. It has tribbles. Oh.
But, yeah, man. TA.
Did any of you ever play Parapete? Pete?
What?
Guess not. Did any of you guys ever play Parapete?
No, Parapete. That sounds dumb.
Wasn't that like a Sega Genesis game?
It was like a Windows like 98 game.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
With the little gun dude, and
yeah,
that was the best. I played it in like second grade.
That game was awesome. I remember which one
you
were talking
about.
It was
actually the best.
It was made by the same guys who made this other game. I don't remember it. Anyway, it was a really awesome game.
Well, apparently tribbles were in the game Star Trek Armada 2.
Oh, I love that game. Wait, no, they weren't in that game.
They weren't?
No.
Wikipedia said they were.
Unless there's like a hidden cheat that I never found out about.
Tribbles are used as a form of trade in the computer game Star Trek Armada 2. As a weapon, transported to the enemy ship to multiply and fill it there. Oh, yeah, they're not.
Okay, yeah, because I'm like, I own Armada 2 like 10 times over.
You actually own 10 copies of the game?
Yes, I did. I was that big of a diehard Armada 2 fan.
Wow.
Anyway, we've gone off on a really wild tangent now. Okay, lastly before WTF news, net neutrality.
Oh, I got it. Dark Nova. That was it.
Dark Nova.
Dark Nova.
Dark, Never heard of it. But net neutrality I've heard of.
Okay.
Rest in peace, net neutrality. What do you guys say? Should we give up hope for net neutrality? Is it done, over? We'll get ready to be used to a world without net neutrality.
What the hell is that?
What I'm asking is net neutrality.
It sounded like somebody was murdering a digital kitten or something in the back.
It's probably because Kello walked into the Ustream.
Okay. As far as like net neutrality, like,
should we even give up hope?
It's gonna go away.
Should we stop trying to even do the net neutrality argument? Just get used to the fact that service providers are gonna be controlling what we see and how we see it and what we download, and we better get used to it.
For one, net neutrality is controlled by the government. The government is run a lot by whoever has the most money, who can give money to campaigns.
Okay, so lobbyists.
Exactly, and they'll always can't. Big companies, internet companies, always have the most money. So, I mean, it's a losing battle from a consumer standpoint. I mean, you'll have people that'll kind of be like, "Yeah, we think that your challenge should be good," but they're always going to be outnumbered.
Interesting. Well, those are our thoughts on. Great thoughts.
Well, I have thoughts, but they basically range from net neutrality is a good thing, but if the government eventually decides that that they're going against it, then there's really nothing we can do, which is a great thing about living in America, right? Wait, that's not it. Hold on.
I would have an opinion, but I'm 5 and I can't vote, so.
Okay, I think it's time for WTF news. What
the fuck? These news are really bad.
What the fuck?
But the noise cast makes it rad.
What the fuck?
These news will make you say.
What the fuck?
Let's just go. What the
fuck? Okay. Whew. Well, we've got some interesting ones tonight. Florida is back on our list. And surprisingly,
everybody
so
put
is
on
Chicago
your shock
twice.
Face.
Okay. Where do I start? Okay.
Start with Chicago, then go to Florida, then we'll go back to Chicago.
Okay. Okay, we'll start off with the lesser of the WTF news in Chicago, which is... A guy in Fort Heights was arrested at his home for possessing an alligator in his house, which is possession of a dangerous animal. It's considered a misdemeanor. When asked why he had an alligator in his home, he said, "Chicks dig it." That was his excuse.
Wow.
He fed the animal 10 live mice once a month and kept it in a small fish tank to keep down its size. He bought it for $200 in Indiana 5 years ago.
To keep down its size?
Yes, he kept it in a fish tank and fed it only 10 mice a month.
So did he figure that if he kept it confined that it wasn't going to keep growing?
He thought it was like a goldfish, man. And he thought it was a goldfish that you fed mice. Because he just kept it in the tank and he just sprinkled the mice over the top. And he watched.
Well, I don't know what Chig said that they dig that he had an alligator living in a fish tank.
I don't know if I want to meet those ladies.
I would be weirded out.
Ooh, you have an alligator? I'll suck your dick. Yeah.
I fucking love alligators. They're my favorite animal. Those big sharp teeth and leathery skin. And fucking violent tendencies.
Oh my god, it hit my hand! Like, what did he like, bring him over? Like, you want to pet my alligator? It's like, that was a line he used at the bar. I want to come over and pet my gator.
I think it was pet my scaly friend.
Pet my scaly friend.
left it a little bit more ambiguous that way.
That doesn't seem like a pickup line. That seems more like a please go home.
I have
line.
Leprosy. Please stay away.
I have really dry skin. Would you like to moisturize my scaly friend?
Oh shit.
Let's bounce to Florida real
There's
quick.
There's a girl in my school who like owns a pig in an apartment.
I know some ever people have pigs.
Oh my god.
She lives in a New York City apartment. And she takes it on a walk with a leash. Like, for to go.
Hey, Arnold had a pig named Abner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can go back in the Wayback Machine.
Football headed cartoons aside. Moving over to Florida on the same topic of stupid criminals. Okay, this one's sort of wow, but apparently two deaf men, deaf, D-E-A-F, not death as in dead, two deaf men were stabbed at the Ocean's 11 Sports Lounge and Grill at Hallandale Beach Saturday night when Barbara Lee, another patron, thought the men were throwing gang signs at her. The men who were just deaf and mute were using sign language. They were at a bar to celebrate a birthday.
Oh my god. So let's try and build the scene here. These two guys standing there at the bar talking to each other. Right?
In sign language.
This woman,
the indoor
gets offended.
Sunglasses threw her off.
What? They're deaf, not blind.
What a fail. I mean, it's hard to fail harder than these people, but you're pretty fucking close.
Next up on What the Fuck News, Caroline doesn't know the difference between deaf and blind. So this woman gets offended, walks over there, and starts screaming. And these guys don't understand what the fuck's coming out of her mouth.
Because can't hear her.
They're deaf. So they start talking to her some more with sign language. She gets even more offended and busts out the shiv.
Well, apparently the sign language they used was to tell her to go away. Probably they just waved her hands at her, you know, like, get the fuck out of here. And that sort of set her off. Because those were clearly gang signs that they were throwing up at her.
Obviously.
Yeah, because actually the modern gangs have moving gang signs.
As someone who has witnessed throwing up gang signs on a regular basis and sign language, it's pretty easy to distinguish the two. I'm going to say it. Because when there's really, you don't just stand like within talking distance and make gang signs. It's just not effective.
Especially when you're doing sign language, you're holding your walking stick in the other hand.
They're not blind, damn it.
I'm kidding. Oh,
they're not blind,
God.
And they're not crippled.
I'm kidding.
They're deaf.
I'm kidding.
Coming back to Chicago for more stupid criminals, Michael Richards.
Were they blind?
No, they were not blind. These guys were just hungry. This guy named Michael Richards, no relation to the comedian. Apparently he got in a fight with the 7-Eleven cashier because Richards bought a bag of chips from the store, from the 7-Eleven, and then began pumping hot cheese from the toppings bar into the open bag. And then the cashier warned him that nacho toppings...
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, the cashier warned him that nacho toppings is for use only by customers who purchase tortilla chips served in a traditional plastic tray. Richard pretty much continued to add the zest to his chips and then threatened the cashier. When the cashier tried to stop him, he grabbed and twisted her arm. Police was called, and of course, felony charges were charged, apparently for cheese theft. The defendant was informed that it was not yo cheese.
That's not true, it's nacho cheese.
Well, not yo cheese, nacho cheese.
What kind of cheese is that? Nacho cheese? It's mine, bitch.
But apparently, yes, this guy is being held on bond for robbery for trying to steal nacho cheese
from the subway. Is it really that big of a deal?
If something like that, just let it go.
Really?
First of all, it's probably not Ashley's.
When you work in a convenience store, you gotta choose your battles. One day, you're gonna be in that convenience store getting pissed off at the wrong guy for trying to take some nacho cheese, and he's gonna pop one in you. And all he wanted was some yellow cheese-like product. Of course, he could have circumvented the whole problem by picking up some tortilla chips in a traditional plastic container and said, "Here, I'm buying these. I just don't want the cheese on these chips."
Well, I sort of see the cashier's point of view. She saw a guy trying to take her cheddar.
Wow. Oh my God.
No.
There's a reason we don't let you write the jokes.
Oh, man.
I mean, really, that's just something. If I'm in the store and this lady's making a fuss about it, I'm like, here's the $1.50 it is for the fucking cheese. Just let it go. She escalated a situation that didn't have to be there.
Yeah, now this guy's got a charge for some nacho cheese.
Flying over to California, to Hollywood, the Playboy Playmate who co-starred in Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, Yvette Vickers, apparently she was found mummified in her Hollywood mansion and had been dead for over a year. What gave it away was...
No one, like, see her or anything? Didn't have any friends?
Her neighbors sort of figured it out. She was tipped... Get this, she was tipped off by cobwebs and yellowing letters in Vickers' mailbox.
What, it took him a year to figure that out?
Seriously?
Yep.
A
year.
How do you not notice that the fucking mail is building up, I don't know, maybe a month, 2 months later? You don't notice the funky smell?
The big stack of newspapers out front of the house?
Well, they went in and they found her body. She decided to enter the house after seeing a shock of blonde hair, which turned out to be a wig. The inside of the home was in disrepair, as it was hard, and it was hard to move through the rooms because boxes containing what happened to be clothes, junk mail, and letters formed barriers. She made her way upstairs and found a room with a small space heater still on. Wow.
Holy shit.
It must have smelled in there.
Yeah. A cordless phone had been knocked off the cradle, and there was a body on the floor. The remains were unrecognizable.
Yeah, after a year, the smell was most likely gone. She was just, you know, some Hollywood beef jerky after that.
I don't know, probably. I'm sort of worried about this Susan Savage neighbor. She's got to be a really shitty neighbor. A year
broke
went
into
by.
Someone's house.
No, I mean, okay, I can understand like not seeing somebody after a month, 2 months. Okay, 6 months is getting creepy. Where the hell is this person? If you're the neighbor.
Well, it's possible that they just didn't have a good relationship, because every one of my fucking neighbors could die.
Enter this person's home and see if they're still alive.
Also, in Hollywood, houses are like not like that. Like, you don't really see the other house. I mean, I don't know what the house looks like, but.
No, hold on. What part of Hollywood are you basing this on? Are you basing it on the shit you've seen on TV or the slummy, shitty parts of Hollywood? Because there are a lot of those.
I'm gonna assume she lives in a nice neighborhood.
Look, sitting in a Hollywood tour bus doesn't count as a real life experience.
Stop.
No, seriously, there are some very slummy, shitty parts of Hollywood. They're not the huge mansions, you know, several miles apart.
Yeah, West Hollywood's not a place you want to be.
That's where I want to be.
Caroline, we're actually going to your area now. We're going to New York.
Yay.
But it involves a Florida woman. A few weeks ago, we sort of broke a story. We didn't break it. We reported on a story of a woman who had hidden drugs and money and loose change in her vagina.
Yes. Her ham wallet.
Yes. It turns out Gloria Esther Perez, 25, of Florida, was busted by the cops after she allegedly attempted to hide a knife in her private area, police said. That's right. She put a knife in her vagina in order to hide it.
This seems really dangerous.
Or incredibly kinky.
No, that's just dangerous.
Well, wait, was it a folding knife?
Was it a
switchblade?
Sure. I'm imagining it's an unsheathed knife, because I think that just makes for a better story.
Apparently, she was arguing with somebody over buying cigarettes, and the police had to get involved. The woman was appearing more and more nervous after that, and she was becoming increasingly fidgety, putting her hands in her pockets and near her private area like she was trying to conceal something. Enlisting the help of a female deputy, she was searched and found to be hiding dozens of prescription pills.
Once it was discovered? Oh my god.
Then she became ill. The police report states that she was taken to the hospital. Once there, it was discovered she was concealing two knives. One was tucked within the folds of her fat, while the other was hidden in her vagina. The other was in her vagina.
So, oh, it just got a whole lot worse.
So she's getting nabbed for both concealing possession of narcotics and possession of a concealed weapon.
Oh my god, that is just...
Like, apparently she couldn't fit both of the knives in her folds of fat. One had to go in the vagina. There just wasn't enough room for both.
Why wouldn't she put it in her cleavage? Which I assume she had, since she apparently was fat enough.
I don't know. I'm not going to try to logically
reason. She's not up there
reason.
On the intelligence level.
I'm not going to try to logically reason why she did some of the things she just did.
She might have confused blind people with deaf people.
Maybe. That would just be too insane, though.
Okay. Going back to Florida now. If you happen to live in Florida, there's good news for you. Apparently, bestiality is now illegal in Florida. And so are baggy pants.
Wait, just now? They're just now getting around to this?
I think the first line of this article is the best part. It says, Floridians are going to have to start pulling up their pants and stop having sex with animals soon. The bestiality bill bans sexual activity between humans and animals and has been championed for years by Senator Nan Rick from Sunrise. This bill has been championed for years and it finally passed.
So, I love the reason it finally passed. Rich took up the anti-bestiality to bill after a number of cases involving sexual activity with animals in recent years, including a panhandle man who was suspected of accidentally asphyxiating a family of goat during a sex act and abuse of a horse.
So there is absolutely nothing else that Florida legislation could be handling right now.
Well, the Droopy
Drawers
bill.
They have to pass a law.
The Droopy Drawers bill.
Yeah, that's what I was going to comment on. The Droopy Pants. Droopy Pants.
Soon
I mean,
must
I agree happen. That people need to pull their fucking pants up, but come on.
Well,
there's got to be something better
to
spend
like
tax dollars
on. Their pants on the ground, man.
Students caught showing their underwear or butt crack could face suspensions and other punishments.
More stories need to be written with butt crack in them. You can't say butt crack and not laugh.
All right. And our last.
I wonder if there's
WTF.
A scientific term for butt crack. Like, what do they call it at the hospital? That's what I want to know.
Gluteus crevis? I don't know.
Gluteus craximus. Hey.
And you said my jokes are bad.
Your jokes are bad. Look, just because I told a bad joke doesn't make yours any better.
You know what? I laugh at them, and that makes me feel good. That's what matters. All right. So the obviously the bestiality law was put into effect because a man asphyxiated a goat.
Our last a family of goat.
Oh.
Not okay. Just one goat.
A family of goats. Okay, well, our last WTF story also involves a goat and death. Okay, I think that the title is worthy. Man high on bath salts kills neighbor's goat, police say.
Yes!
That was fuck. I read that story. I was like, holy shit.
You can say police. Bath salts all you want. That is a fucking meth face.
This was in West Virginia. A man high on bath salts killed his neighbor's pygmy goat, and that the neighbors found him in his bedroom, dressed in a bra and panties, next to the dead animal. He was charged with animal cruelty. And he, apparently, the person who owned the goat had bought it as a gift to her 4-year-old grandson. And they named the goat Bailey. Aw.
Sorry, Stevie. Bailey's gone to heaven now.
Steven, is all this ghost talk? Goat talk? Reminding you of your homeland? Took a detour through
hell.
What?
So after they
Steven, is all this goat talk reminding you of your homeland?
Yes, it does. Except we kill goats and eat them. We don't kill them and do sex acts with them. Only in America. Okay, so when the goat went missing, you know, they walked into Thompson. They walked to Thompson's house with the police looking for the goat. And when they approached the bedroom door, and they spoke to Thompson, he said, "Don't come in. I'm naked." But they opened the door, and there he was with his pants down. He had on women's clothing, and the goat was dead, and there was blood everywhere. And Thompson ran out the front door when they asked him about the dead goat in his room.
And yeah, way
Thompson
to go.
Allegedly told police that he was on bath salts for about 3 days. And there was also a pornographic magazine lying a few feet away from the goat.
Maybe the goat was reading it, honestly.
We know that the animal had at least one stab wound and there were signs of sexual trauma. And the police took the dead animal.
In the stab wound?
There was a stab wound and there were also signs of sexual trauma. They had to take the goat to a veterinarian for a necropsy. That's got to suck to be that veterinarian.
Yeah.
You gotta be a twisted motherfucker to do some shit like that. But again, I say that is a meth face.
This isn't the guy you want to be hanging out with.
Well,
Power said that's that they an took him to church and he stole a communion wine.
Goes well with the basalts.
He's just been a menace ever since I've been here. He runs through the woods screaming and cursing and hitting things.
What a strange individual.
Indeed. Well, if you're ever high on bath salts, stay away from farm animals. Moral of the story.
Even better story, don't get high on bath salts.
They're bad for you.
Yes. Keep that in mind, Caroline, as you go off to college.
Thank you.
No bath salts.
Especially with your friend. Especially with your friend in New York that owns a pig.
Hey, you want to get high on bath salts and fuck my pig? No. No, I do not.
Yeah.
Well, that about wraps it up for tonight.
Woo!
Woo, yay!
The hell was that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought somebody had punched their pet goat while high on bath salts.
No one has a pet goat.
No.
Not anymore.
Why do you even get a pet goat? Are you gonna take it for a walk and play catch?
The same place you get a pet alligator and keep in your fish tank.
At least an alligator can eat things.
You get it in Indiana.
Hey, at least chicks dig alligators. Chicks don't dig goats.
You don't know that. They might. Give them the basalts.
All right. Well, time to wrap this up. a special message from commenter and listener Jake MG. He wants to let everybody know, happy Mother's Day. I just teabagged all of your moms. So thank you, Jake MG, for your contribution to the Noisecast. Sure, that'll go over well with everybody. And yeah, visit us at thenoisecast.com where we write shit. And then we also do Twitter stuff at twitter.com/thenoisecast. Send us your feedback. Give us your suggestions. Suggest more things for the noise draft topic list, which I am sure I included everybody on this week.
Hey, I contributed.
Yes, you did. On that note, this is going to be a really weird sign-off since half the people who were on are not on anymore.
Wait, can I be Agrippa? We just lost one person.
Yeah. We only had like three people.
Can I be Agrippa?
Yes, Caroline. You could.
Well, if you're Agrippa, who's going to be Caroline?
No, but I can be both.
Can you do a different voice?
Yeah.
I think that is a prerequisite.
Oh, let's try it off. On this episode, we had Caroline.
Bye.
We had Agrippa.
Thank you for watching.
Watching?
It's still the hearing and sight thing. You get confused, don't you? It's tough.
They let her in college.
Okay.
They actually accepted her.
I'm sort of offended that you had to give Agrippa like a very deep voice. It has nothing to do with it. I would have been
like, thanks everyone, I'm going to go enjoy my fast.
That sounds more like Agrippa.
I think so.
I had my friends move my furniture before, I'm sorry about that.
I would really like to hear what Agrippa has to say about his furniture moving experience. It's not every day that people come into my house and start rearranging my furniture. But anyway, who else was on here? Oh, Gonzo Ryder?
Yeah, I was here.
That's right. And Vito, you joined us in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, late to the game. Oops. All right.
Well, that wraps it up for episode 29. Tune in next time, same place, to listen to the Noisecast.
Yeah.
Come on.